We're holding the last words of Nun Aleph on the Beis. We said in the Mishnah that we had, again, Rabbi Gamliel saying, Ein get acha get, the ein maimer acha maimer, that a second get after the first one has no effect as far as passing her to her relatives for him to marry, and the same way that one maimer after another doesn't have any effect like that either. And the Chachamim disagreed. So we said in the Mishnah, Ketzad, what do we mean by that? Also maimer kula. So then, so after we mentioned this ein get acha get and ein maimer acha maimer, then the Mishnah started saying that Ketzad, it said, if he did maimer with his Yavama and then gave her a get, then she needs it. We're talking about where there was one Yavama and one Yavama to start with. So he did maimer and then gave her a get. Then she needs chalitza from him, and then continue with various other permutations like that. So in particular, it mentions over there cases where you have a get and then another get. So the Gemara asks, "Hai get achav getu?" It's a question. "Hai get achav getu?" When you're saying over here, the Chachamim are saying, "Ein get achav get." And then the Mishnah is not giving an example of get acha get. The Mishnah is giving an example of get acha maimer, which even Rav Gamliel agrees is valid. So the Mishnah is telling us a din, then it's saying ketzad to illustrate it, but the illustration that it's giving seems to have nothing to do with the actual situation under discussion. So Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kama. Rav Yehuda says the Mishnah means like this. Get acha get, or maimer acha maimer. What are examples of get acha get and maimer acha maimer? That is kidam moran. That's like we said before. We brought yesterday a brisa that illustrated the example, for example, where there are two yavamas and he did a maimer with one and a maimer with the other, or a get to one and a get to the other. Obviously, there's no such thing as maimer acha maimer or get acha get by one yavam and one yavama, because it's meaningless to talk about. The meaningless, even the Chachamim are going to say it's meaningless to talk about maimer acha maimer or get acha get in that case. So the Mishnah, the Gemara seems to be almost saying like a chasuri mechsera, but not even. The point is that we have a braisa which spells out the cases of get acha get and the cases of maimer acha maimer. And then the Mishnah is continuing, Yavam Echad V'Yavama Achas Ketzad. Now, how do you have, what is the scenario when you have one Yavam and one Yavama? So, Ketzad HaTarasan, what's the method by which we make the woman mutter to marry outside the family? That would be, for example, Osam Maimer, and the first example is Osam Maimer V'Yavimtev and Osam Laget, where if he did Maimer and then gave her a get, Tzricha Emenu Chalitza, where the way for her to become mutter is to have Chalitza. And then you have the various other cases where you need get and Chalitza, or when we say Einacha Chalitza Klum, or Einacha Bia Klum, and nothing else is necessary. So it's almost like a Chasuri Mechsura, but maybe the Gemara is not actually saying the words Chasuri Mechsura, because over here we actually have a Braisa that goes in tandem with the Mishnah and spells out the details of what Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim are arguing about. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said, Osa Maimer Baal Harezu Kimitzvah. So we said that we went through the various scenarios, and one of them was that we're talking with one Yavam and one Yavama. If he did Maimer, which is Kedushin, and then he did Be'ila, Harezu Kimitzvah, then that's the proper way of doing the mitzvah. Because that's how you're supposed to do it. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah Leila Rav Huna. Well, does that mean that our Mishnah supports Rav Huna? Do Amar Rav Huna mitzvah Yavama Mekadesh V'Achatach Boil? Rav Huna says that explicitly. The proper way of the actual mitzvah of Yavama is to do Kiddushin and then Be'ila. And our Mishnah seems to be saying that when it says Harezu Kumitzvasa. The Gemara says not necessarily, because Ema Afzek Kumitzvasa. Because maybe what the Mishnah means is also this is Kumitzvasa. In other words, that there are two ways that it could be Kumitzvasa. Be'ila with there could be two ways of doing kimitzvasa. One where there's no maimer at all, only be'ila, and the other one where there's maimer and then be'ila. Anything else, any other permutations that involve get or chalitza are not going to be kimitzvasa, obviously, because if there's chalitza, then for sure you can't do be'ila. One second. You were looking at it a bit. So obviously, if there's get involved over there, then already the bia is not to mitzvasa. And if there's chalitza involved, there's nothing even to talk about, because chalitza is valid on a daraisa level, and therefore you certainly can't have bia after it. But the Mishnah is not necessarily implying, like Rav Huna says, that the ideal way to do the mitzvah is mimer and then bia. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us that there are two equally ideal ways to do it: mimer and then bia, or just bia. So then it would say afzek mitzvah. So also this is according to the mitzvah. Well, then the question would be pshita. Wouldn't that be obvious? Why would we think that there's anything wrong with doing mimer and then bia? On the contrary, Rav Huna is telling us that's the ideal way to do it. But why would we think that it's worse, such that the Mishnah would have to stress for us afzek mitzvah? So the answer is because otherwise, sapir ad hamina, you would think like this. Given the Omar, given that a Brisa says, we learned this back in, we learned the Brisa that we said yesterday, where we illustrated the opinions of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim, when you have multiple Yuvamim or multiple Yuvamos, we said, this Hoyov Omar really actually is a Brisa that we had earlier in the Masechta, back in the third parak. So we said there, that when he does Maimer, when he does Kiddushin of a Yavama, at that point the original Zika of a Yavam goes away, and now you have a new Zika which is similar to Erusin, and we discussed over there the relevance of that. We said according to Beis Shammai, in fact, that Maimer, we learned yesterday also, that according to Beis Shammai, that Maimer is strong enough that it makes her tantamount to being his wife, such that if later on another Yavamo, who's her sister, comes up for Yibum, then we say she's a chos isha and we don't need to worry about her. They still will disagree. Okay, fine. But nevertheless, we still use the expression over there that, the context was that Rabba had said to Abaya we were talking about over there. What, according to Beis Shammai, we were talking about what does Maimer accomplish according to Beis Shammai, the equivalent of Nisuin or the equivalent of Erosin, and Rabba mentioned the concept over there that when you do Maimer, then Zikas Yivomin goes away, and now you have a new Zikas Erosin. So now the question is, what is it? Does it actually have the strength of Erosin or of Nisuin? So therefore, given that we're saying that concept, that there is, that now a new kind of Zikas Erosin is created, or Nisuin, or we said over there it might even be like Nisuin. So Ema Lav Mitzvah Kavid. So maybe now by doing Mimer, you're making it that now you're not really doing the Mitzvah in the proper way anymore, because maybe the proper way to do the Mitzvah is where the Bia is the result of Zikas Yevomin, not of a new kind of Zika that was created as a result of the Mimer. So therefore, that would mean that actually, and if we were to say that, then it would come out that actually the proper way to do it would in fact be without Mimer first, and so then Rav Huna would be telling us Mitzvah Sivama is to do Kiddushin and then Bia, but the Mishnah wouldn't be implying that. The Mishnah maybe would be implying that the better thing is to do Bia directly, because that way you're still coming on the basis of the original Zikas Sivamin, Kamash Malan. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that no, don't think that because it's a new kind of Zika, therefore it means that the Yibum is not the ideal way. No, the ideal way, or at least an ideal way, it's equally ideal to do with or without, to do with or without Maimer. So now comes Rav Huna and says, Mitzvah Sivamin, the proper way to do the Mitzvah, Dirabanan at least, is to do Maimer first. So the Gemara says Gufa. Now let's get back to what Rav Huna says. Let's analyze it. Mitzvah Yevomin Mekadesh V'Achakach Boil. We said the ideal way to do the mitzvah of Yevomin is that you do Kiddushin, which is Mimer, and then you boil. V'im Boil V'Osam Mimer. If you did it the other way around, if you did Ve'ilah and then you did Mimer, Kona, then he's still Kona her. Says, what's the point of Mimer after that? In Bob, also Mimer, Pshita, obviously, if you did the Mimer afterwards, then it's Poshit. He was already Koina her. Dhokanya Babia. No question. He was already Koina her with Bia. In other words, Tosfos says the question is not that Bia itself is enough. Because the question rather is, obviously, Mimer, doing Mimer after Bia is not weakening the force of the Bia. So if bia by itself is enough to accomplish, which we're going to talk about at the beginning of the next parak, abal yavimtoi, bein ba'onis, bein berotzen, etc., then he's koina, then there's no reason to think that maimer afterwards would weaken that such that Rav Huna would have to tell us otherwise. So the Gemara says, ela ema im ba'al beloi maimer koina. So you're right. What Rav Huna means to say is not ba'al ve'osa maimer, but on the contrary, im ba'al beloi maimer. If he did, well, not really the contrary. He means if he did Be'ilah without doing Mimer first, then Kona, then you're also Kona. So in other words, what he's saying is that you would think, without Rav Huna telling you that, you would think that maybe you have to Davka do it in that order. First Mekadesh and then Boil. Now, Daraisa, for sure, we would know we don't need Rav Huna to be telling us that Be'ilah is enough. And we don't need the Gemara to be telling us that. But you would think that maybe once the Chachamim came up with the concept of mimer, then if you do it any other way without mimer, maybe in fact you're not koina. Maybe the chachamim have the ability to say that's not fully koina. And therefore we're saying that no, that's not what the chachamim are saying. That even on a derabbanan level, you are koina. As we're going to say in a second, you might get makas maudus for it, but you were koina. Because daraisa, be'ilah is enough. So even though the Chachamim were misakin that you have to do Mimer, that doesn't mean that if he didn't do Mimer, it wasn't effective. It just means if he didn't do Mimer, he was over on something the Chachamim said. But not that it... So you do have to do Mimer because the Chachamim told you to. But Rav Huna is telling us that. So Rav Huna, that's the point. Rav Huna is telling us, mitzvah yivomin, the proper way to do the mitzvah is mekadesh v'achatach boil. The imbob also mimer, and now we're correcting this to imbob beloy mimer, if you never ended up doing mimer at all, or if you did it after the be'ilah, as the case may be, either way, it's the same thing. You did the be'ilah without mimer beforehand, then you are koine. Don't think, this is how Tosfos teaches out with the Gemara, don't think that maybe because you were over al dibre chachamim, therefore the chachamim are removing the effect of the kiddushin, and saying that the Be'ilah was a Be'ilah psula, and therefore doesn't have the effect of fully making her his wife. No, we're saying it still does. You were over on Divrei Chachamim for not doing Kiddushin first.
One question. So if he had the Kavana to Mekadesh her only after he did Bia and Mimer.
Well, Mimer is Kiddushin. Doesn't matter. That's what we're going to talk about at the beginning of the next parak. We're going to talk about that regardless, as long as he had an intent for bia, then it doesn't matter whether he intended for the mitzvah or not. We're going to see that at the beginning of the next parak. No. Falling is something else, because there he didn't have an intention for bia at all. We're talking about where he had an intention for bia, and the Gemara is going to give some examples at the beginning of the next parak. Nevertheless, even though he had no intention for the mitzvah of yibum at all, but as long as he had an intention for some kind of bia, then he is koina. Yes.
Okay.
But what we're saying is that he's over al dibre chachamim because they told him to do mimer, but nevertheless he is koina. So the Gemara says, "Bahatanya loika." What do you mean? No, we learn in a brisa that if he does that, he gets malchus, and malchus is for something daraisa. So it sounds like daraisa you need. So it sounds like daraisa you need mimer. Now. Tosfos explains, obviously still, the Chachamim knew that Mimer is only Dirabbanan, but the Chachamim thought what it meant is that we're treating him as if he had not done Yibum, but rather as if he had been over on an Issur Erva, because after all she is his brother's wife, and therefore Dirabbanan, we would prevent it from taking effect. And the answer is that no, that's not what it means. Makas maudus mi dirabonon. All we mean is he gets makas maudus dirabonon. In other words, the chachamim are not touching the actual yibum itself. The actual yibum itself is valid, even though it's not done the way the chachamim told you to. However, because the guy broke divrei chachamim, who told him to do mimer first, therefore he's getting makas maudus for that. As we have, in fact, the Rav mandated. In fact, Rav would give malchus for the following things, which are also dirabbanan. First of all, manda makadish bia, a man who is makadish a woman with bia. We know from the beginning of kiddushin that there are three ways that you can be makadish a woman: kesef, shtar, and bia. But if a man is makadish a woman with bia, that he says, namely, he says to her, hareyat makudeshes liba bia zu, and then they go into yichud together in the presence of edim, because that's how it gets accomplished. They don't do the actual act in front of edim, of course, you're not allowed to. But anyway, so Midaraisa is a valid kedushin, but Rav would give such people malchus for doing that. Which is a derabanan, because it's a princistic thing. It shows a lack of tznius. And also several others. Umad de Makadish Bishukha, he would also give Makas Maudus to somebody who's Makadish out in the street, and there we mean even if he's Makadish with money, because it's still, Rashi says, minet zilo supritusi. It's a cheap, pritistic way of doing things. Like you just go in full view of everybody in the street and give a woman money and say, Ariat Makudashusli, it's a pritistic thing. I think the Rambam even says, I mean, it slightly resembles a Kadesha, where you tell her, you know, here's some money and let's go to bed together. So he would give petch for that. Umanda Makadesh Bolo Shiduchi, also a man who is Makadesh, a woman without Shiduchim first. So Shiduchim means pretty much what we think of nowadays as Shiduchim, namely that you agree ahead of time that you're going to go through with this. So like this, if he goes over out of the blue and gives her Kiddushin and says, Hareat Makudeshusli, it is valid as long as she accepts it. But nevertheless, Rav would give them Makas Maudus for that, again, because it's pretty distinct. Umandim of Batal Gita, also Rav would give Petch to somebody who was Mevatal a Get. Now you can have, we'll learn in Masech Gittin next year, Bez Hashem, that you can have that a man sends a Get to his wife, and then before it reaches her, he's Mevatal it. He has the ability to, but nevertheless, that can create problems. The Get is going to be delivered to her. She's not going to know it's Batal. She's going to end up remarrying, and then she's an Eishes Ish, and then her children from her second husband are going to be a Mamzerim. So Rav would give Makas Maudus to somebody who did that, who was Mevatal again. In fact, Tosfa says Rav himself holds that, in fact, that the husband does not even have the power to be Mevatal it. But nevertheless, Rav would still give him Makas Maudus, because by doing that, by attempting, by seemingly being Mevatal it, he's still Motzi Laz al Get. He makes people question the validity of the Get, and you're not supposed to do that. So for that reason alone, he would give him Makas Maudus. Umanda Masa Maidah Agita, and another one would be a person who gives a Maidah before he gives a Get. Namely, a Maidah, in general, a Maidah in Halacha, in Gittin and in other areas of Halacha, is where a person makes an announcement ahead of time that what he's about to do is against his will, and he doesn't really want it, and he doesn't really want it to be valid. You could have, for example, a person is selling property, for example. You know, you have the local mafia is forcing him to sell property to them. So he makes a Maidah ahead of time, saying that he's not really selling it willingly, but only under duress. And that gives him the ability later on to get them to take them to Basin and have the sale voided. So in the same way with a get has to be given with the rotzen of the husband. So you can have the same idea where he gives a Maidah ahead of time, saying that this get that I'm about to give is under duress, and therefore it's no good. Now, so in fact, for that reason, Tosfos explains that usually what we do is, in fact, this is actually part of the standard Seder HaGet that you can find in the poskim, is we tell the husband before he gives the get in Beis Din, we tell him to be Mevatal in front of the Beis Din any Maidos that he had ever made about this get or about any other get, and that way it avoids problems. Nevertheless, though, still the... Well, maybe not any other get. I don't remember that point. But whatever, he has to be Mevatal any other possibilities of Maidah on this get. Yeah. Anyway. So even so, Tosfa says, again, just the fact that he gives Maidah would be reason for Rav to give him Petch. Because, again, Motzi Laz al Get. Some people are going to have heard his original Maidah. They're not going to hear his retraction. They're going to see that he afterwards gave a get to his wife. They're going to say, hey, but he said a Maidah on it. And they're going to be Motzi Laz and start questioning the validity of the get and questioning the validity of her remarriage. And we don't want that. And therefore, Rav would give him Petch for such a thing. And another one, Umanda Pokir Shlucha Drabanan, another, the Gemara is just bringing the whole list together. Also another thing Rav would give a person Malkus Maudus for is Manda Pokir Shlucha Drabanan, a person who acts chutzpedik against a shliach of the Drabanan. Rashi says shliach based him. Rashi apparently had the gears of shliach based him. Shlicha de Rabbanan would be more generally a shliach of the Chachamim. For example, Tosfos gives the example. You have the story in Kiddushin where Rav sends somebody, or not Rav, Rav Yehuda sends somebody to send his shamash to the meat store, to the butcher shop to buy meat. And somebody over there is chutzpahdik and demand, what are you letting him go ahead? And he calls Rabbi Yehuda names, and Rabbi Yehuda put him in Chayim over there. So over here we're saying that actually, so there he put him in Chayim, which is stronger because he was Mevazer Rabbi Yehuda himself. Had he just harassed the Shliach, then he would have gotten Petch for it. So therefore it's not even a Shliach of a Beis Din, it's just a Shliach of the Chachamim. In fact, there was a Girsa some of the Rishonim have, not even a Shliach of the Rabbanon or a Shliach of the Chachamim, but in general, a young Talmud Chacham. Anyway, so that's another one. Another one Rav would give Petch is somebody who allowed a Shamta, which is the strongest kind of Cherem of the Chachamim, to remain on him Tlos in Yoimin for 30 days, and he did not come to Beis Din to ask for the Shamta to be removed. So he's showing, in other words, that he really doesn't care about it, so Rav would make him care by giving him Petch. And another one, the last one, Baal Chasna the Doyu Bebe Chamui, and also Rav would give Petch to a son-in-law who lives in his father-in-law's house, because there can be problems of pritzus over there, because between the older couple and the younger couple, it's a commonplace thing in the Gemara sometimes that a son, you know, we often have there's old jokes about mothers-in-law, but the Gemara seems to take it in many places that actually a son-in-law Davka has often a close relationship, and sometimes an inappropriately close relationship with his mother-in-law, and therefore for them to live in the same house is no good, and Rav would give them Petch for that. Now, nowadays, we sometimes have married couples who live in the same house or the same building as their in-laws, and we'll get to that in a minute, why that's less of an issue. But anyway, so Rav would do that. So the Gemara asks on that last one, D'doyer in the cholif loy? So you're telling me only if he lives there, but not if he just passes by? Wasn't there an example of a son-in-law who just walked by the door of his father-in-law's house, the Nagdeh of Sheshis, and Rav Sheshis gave him Malkus Maudus? So you see that even that is a problem. And the answer is that was a special case. Hahu made him have a Dayim Mechamse. There were rumors going around. He was suspected. His mother-in-law was in fact suspected already of being Mizana with him, and therefore just in passing by is reason enough for Rav Sheshis to give him Malkus. You need to stay away from there. But in a normal case where we don't have such chashad, then it's not to that extent. Just him walking in front of there is not a problem, only a problem of him living there. So now the Gemara said, so now the point is that the point of this list is that the first one on the list was Manda Makadish Babia. And so therefore we're saying that even when it comes to Yibum, it's true that with Yibum, unlike with regular Kiddushin, the way to do Yibum is with Bia, whereas with regular Kiddushin, you have Kesef and Shtar. But nevertheless, it's still wrong to do Yibum, to try and do the Daraisa kind of Yibum of Bia only, not preceded by Maimo, not preceded by Kiddushin, and therefore we're saying that, he does get Petch for it. The difference being, though, that in the case of, even with regular Kiddushin, the Kiddushin can still be valid. If you did Kiddushin with Bia, they can still be valid. We're just giving them Petch. In a similar vein, when it comes to Yibum, over here we're saying, and this was Rav Huna's point before, that we will give them Petch, but nevertheless the Yibum was still valid because on a Daraisa level it's valid. And the Chachamim that's the thing. Tosfos is saying that maybe we would think, without Rav Huna telling us, maybe the Chachamim say that it does not have the force of Yibum. But nevertheless, they don't do that. All they do is that maybe they would say it's as if he was Mizana. No, they don't say it with his brother's wife, which would be an Issur Kares. They don't say that. All they say is that we're going to give him Petch, but nevertheless, the Yibum was still a valid Yibum. He did fulfill the mitzvah, but he did it in the wrong way. Therefore, he's getting that. And the Gemara continues. Nahadoi Amri, the Chachamim of Nahadoi disagreed with that long list. They said, "B'kulu le'mangid Rav." No, you have a list over there of like 8 items where Rav would give Petch. No, Rav did not give Petch, did not give Makas Maudus for all those things. Ella, only for 2 of them, the Makadish for Bia. Number 1, a man is Makadish, a woman with Bia. And number 2, V'loi Shiduchi, and if he does Kiddushin without Shiduchin. but without them agreeing ahead of time that they're going to do kedushin.
Even
but
if they do it totally in private.
Even if they do it in private. Well, they have to do it in front of Adam at least, yeah. Right. But the point is, the rest of them, for example, that he did it in the shuk, or that he was mevatel a get, or that he was moisim adah on a get, or was chutzpedik to a shlucho derabonon, etc. Then how do you say that Rav would not give petch for those? The ikadamni, afilu b'shiduchinami, others say that the Nahar Joyo is saying that Rav would give petch even for kedushin with shiduchim, but it was done out in the street, mishum pritzusa, because again, that's a pritzusika thing to do, and it sort of resembles a kedusha.
So just giving someone a ring.
Giving someone a ring in the street and saying harayat mekudeshes, so we're saying, according to the second version, that, or according to the first version, actually, because of no shiduchim out of time, So they would give petch for that, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I'm not saying anything, but the chasen is always on the sidewalk.
Well, that's fine. To have the chasen itself on the sidewalk is you're still having a chuppah. They're still standing under the chuppah, and symbolically, at least, the chuppah is a room, and therefore it's not really bashuk. It may be visible to everybody, of course, because the sides of the chuppah don't have walls, but nevertheless, it's not really bashuk. Bashuk would just be you're walking down Kingston Avenue. And you're
in a band.
Yeah, let's say. So you did that, then that would be princistic, we're saying, yeah. Now, so what about this business of living of a son-in-law living in a father-in-law's house? So first of all, the Ravid and the Rambam says it's really only a problem if they're living in the same room in the house. He says if the daughter and son-in-law have their own room, then the Ravid says that's not a problem. That's first of all. Second of all, there's some Rishonim say, since the Nahar Joyo are saying that Rav did not give petch for these other things, so okay, obviously not all the things on the list are mutter. We're not going to say that because you didn't give petch, for, let's say, for being mezalzel and a shlucha derabanan, that therefore you're allowed to do that. But nevertheless, you could say, at least on some of the things on this list, that the Nahar Joyo are saying that there's actually not a problem with it, one of them being this one. So Bechlal, and then Shulchan Aruch, it talks about that nowadays, people are makel for a number of reasons, one of which being that the fact is, you know, we don't have large houses to live in, or at least they didn't in the times of the post-skim, and therefore, you know, when a son-in-law lives in his father-in-law's house, you see, you know, an edim of kest, as they said, you know, they would live, and then and the father-in-law would pay for room and board while the son-in-law is learning the first couple of years after marriage. It becomes pretty obvious that they're doing it because they don't have any better place to live, rather than that they're doing it in order to make as new as possible. Then nevertheless, they still have another room of their own in the house, and that satisfies the Ravid's condition.
They really had all the people living in one room.
Maybe sometimes they would have all the people living in one room, yeah.
For one family.
For one extended family, yeah. Okay. Next. Tanan Rabbanan. So anyway, so the point is, again, we said that no matter what, whether we go according to the original list or according to the Nahar Joyo's list, doing kedushin by way of bia is pritzistik, and therefore gets makas maridus. So that's what Rav Huna is saying. So that's the kulei alma, and that's what Rav Huna is telling us. Then that the proper way to do yibum is maimer, which is kedushin, and then bia. If you do bia only, then you're getting makas maridus for it, because the fact is you're over on the corner of the chacham, and you're acting in a pritzistik way. But nevertheless, the chachamim are not touching the actual validity of the yibum itself. The actual yibum itself is valid, is fully valid on a daraita level. Okay. Next, the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, Kate said Mimer. How is Mimer accomplished? Nosam la kesef or shava kesef is if he gives her as usual with kedushin, he gives her kesef, the value of a pruta, or shava kesef, and he tells her that you're niskadish to me with Mimer of Yuval. Which of course Rashi points out, it's not really kedushin gmurim. Real kedushin gmurim aren't going to be chal over here, because after all she's in principle an erva to him. But nevertheless, the chachamim still said that you should do it. Over shtar ketzad. Then how do you do kedushin with a shtar? So the Gemara says, what do you mean shtar ketzad? Kedam moran. We know already from the sechta kedushin how you do kedushin with a shtar. Kosev lo alan yor ayelacheres. If he writes out for her. If he writes out for her on a piece of paper or on a piece of earthenware, alpha pisha in the shava pruta, and even though that paper or that earthenware is not a shava pruta, and he writes out the words hareat lekudeshesli, so it would be the same thing over here. What do we need to ask? So Abaye says, you're right. When we're talking about a shtar, we're not talking about the shtar of Maimer. We're talking about the shtar that he writes to a ksuba. So how do you do that? So then, the answer, and then the Braisa continues, Kosovlo, he writes out to her, Ano ploini bar ploini, kabilis yos ploinis yivimti alai, I, ploini ben ploini, am accepting ploinis my yivoma alai, on me, lozun lefarnes a koroi, that I will sustain her and give her and give her food and clothing and whatever koroi as is appropriate. Uvelvaj takes the bosa al nichse baile harishin, with the exception that the ksuba is payable out of the nechassim of her first husband. We learned earlier on daf lamed tes. Rashi refers to it over here that the reason why is normally the ksuba is on his property, but over here, since isha hiknu loy min hashamayim, since in effect Hashem was makna her to him by having his brother die and she requiring yibum, therefore the ksuba does not have to be against his own property, it can be against the property of the dead brother. Usually he's going to inherit it anyway, but we talked about cases where he doesn't. For example, we had the opinion over there of Rabbi Yehuda, if their father is still alive at the time, etc. Anyway, the point is that, yeah. However, the Gemara says the e less lamivishin. However, if she does not have a ksuba from her first husband for whatever reason, or let's say, for example, the first husband didn't leave any nechassim, so then takinu l'rabbanan misheni. Then the chachamim made it. Let's say he was broke. Yeah. So takinu l'rabbanan misheni. Then the chachamim made a takana that in fact he does write out a ksuba where the ksuba is payable out of his own property, kadesh like tala ba'ein of loitzia. Because the whole reason behind the ksuba that the chachamim made a takana anyway is so it shouldn't be so easy for him to divorce her, knowing that he's going to have to pay out a large amount of money. So if his brother left nechassim, so fine, he's inheriting those nechassim, but nevertheless we can still say that the ksuba goes against them. But if his brother didn't leave any nechassim, then there has to be a ksuba payable out of his own money, a hundred zuz out of his own money. Okay, so in other words, so the Braisa is not talking about how you do kiddushin for a yivama with a shtar. We know it would be the same way as regular kiddushin. We mean how do you write out a shtar ksuvas yivama. Now, it sounds like then the Gemara is saying that you can't be Makadosh with a shtar. Nevertheless, some of the Rishonim Taka don't bring the concept of doing Maimah with a shtar. However, the consensus of the Mechaber writes, the Ramah writes, and most Achronim follow suit. That in fact, the Gemara is not saying that a shtar doesn't work for Maimer. It's just that the Braisa doesn't have to give an example of it, because we know what a shtar for Maimer would look like. It would look exactly like a shtar for Kiddushin, but nevertheless, it would in fact be valid. But the Vilna Gaon wants to argue in his notes on Shulchan Aruch that maybe not. Maybe by Yivama, it's only Kedushay Kesef. Okay. Fine. The Gemara continues. Is there a set ceremony for Yivama? The Rambam describes that once the Chachamim made this concept of Maimer, then yes, you have the Kedushin. In effect, it's Kedushin like regular, and in the same way, you should do Chuppah like regular. And yeah, we pretty much treat it as if it was a regular marriage. Sheva brachas for pashtus. So then you have the usual rule. The Gemara tells us in Ksuvas. We'll learn it in a few months. That's Hashem. If he's never been married before, then we have full 7 days of sheva brachas. If both of them have been married before, then we only have, I think, 1 day of sheva brachas. In this case, obviously she's been married before by definition. If he's never, if the Gemara says over there, alman shenasa almana, or if you have a widower, meaning that he's been married before as well, and he's marrying a widow, then you only have 1 day Sheva Brachas. But otherwise, if he's never been bachur shenasa almana, then you still have 7 days because so he. So you still have seven days Sheva Brachas. Yeah. Okay. Onward. The Gemara says, Bomine Abaya Merabba. Abaya asks Rabba, what happened? Let's get back to the case of Get in our Mishnah. What if he gives her a get? So we're talking about over here, they have a zikra, they haven't yet done yibum or chalitza. He gives her a get and says that with this get, you are divorced from me, the i'at muteres l'chol adam, but you're not muter to marry anybody else. So mahu, does that have any validity? In terms of, obviously it may, so does it have any validity in particular as far as answering her to a kohen? So do we say get yivama d'rabbanan hu? So do we say, given that the whole concept of a get by a Yavama. So would it possible that he and his brothers can't do Yivam with her anymore? Even though obviously it's not being mocked to her to anybody else. Do we say get Yavama Dirabananu? Given that the whole concept of a get to a Yavama is only Dirabanan, then maybe we would say get to Mahani Be'eshes Ish Mahani B'Yavama. Maybe we would say only the kind of get that's affected by an Eshes Ish is affected by a Yavama. Get Deloy Mahani Be'eshes Ish, Loy Mahani B'Yavama. Whereas one that's ineffective by an Eshes Ish is also ineffective by a Yavama. And this kind is ineffective by an Eshes Ish. It's obviously not a valid get, because a get has to be that it cuts them off. And then it may, and Gufa shall get the central formula of a get is saying Hariat Mutaris Fakaladam, and here you don't have that. So do we say that? Or Duma Osile Khlufa Begitta? Or maybe do we have the potential problem that it might be confused with a regular get? People see that he gives her such a get, and they're going to think that it was valid, and later on they're going to see her marrying a Kohen or something, or marrying one of the other brothers, and then they're going to think that you're allowed to do Yibum after a get, which we learned at the beginning of the Perek is going to be a problem. Amalei, so Rabbah answers him, yes, as a matter of fact, we are a Choshish. It might be confused with a real bona fide get, and therefore it passes her for Yibum and has the other consequences. The Gemara says, "Maskevlo Rava Bachanan, Elamei Ata." Well, by that logic, why limit it to a get? Yoivlam the Yoda Baalman. If he gives you a blank piece of paper, Hachinami de Pasla, you're going to say the same thing. It passes over Yibum. Amalei. So Rava answers him. The difference is Hosam like Pasla the corner. The difference is a blank sheet of paper doesn't even passel her to marry a Koyan. If a Koyan gives his wife or anybody gives his wife a blank sheet of paper, it doesn't answer her if he dies afterwards to marry a Koyan. Hacha kapasla b'kohona. Here, with a get where he says, Einat Materis Bechaladam, it's true it's not a valid get. However, it does have the effect of passeling her to marry a Kohen. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikahu, when the Pasuk says a Kohen should not marry a woman who's divorced from her husband, now why does it have to say from her husband? Who else would she be divorced from? It means, Afilu lo nisgarsha ela me'isha, even if she was divorced only from her husband, he said, Hareat Megurashes, but you're not Mutal Chodam, Lo Yikochu. Still, the Pasuk is telling us that they're not allowed to marry. The Rambam says that it's not a real Durasha, it's only an Atzmachta. But anyway, Behind Reya Haget, Shapos of a corner. This is what we mean by Reya Haget, the aroma or the fragrance of a get, which passes her from corner. So even though in no way is it a valid get, but it has enough validity, it has the bare minimum validity to passel her to marry a Kohen. So in the same way over here then, if the Yavam gives a Yavama such a get, it's true obviously that it has no real validity of a get. Nevertheless, it's strong enough to ask her to do Yibum with him or with any of the other brothers. So that's that. The behind Reh get your positive going again. Okay. Now let's start a new discussion. Omar Rami Bacham. Now let's start with the following introduction. We know the Chachamim have told us, Omer Echad the Lavler, suppose that a man goes to a scribe and he tells him, Ksoiv get la arusasi, write a get for the woman that I am, who is my arusa. So he had already done kiddushin. Remember, you know, in those days they used to do kiddushin and they're still in generally a year apart. So he had already done kiddushin with her. Now, during the time of the kiddushin, during the year, he goes to a sofer and he tells him, "Ksoiv get la arusasi, write out a get for her. Lichsha echna sena agarshena. After I fully marry her, after I do the nisuin with her, then I will use this get to divorce her. Harei a get. Then it is a valid and not a very nice guy to do that. But we're talking about the technical halacha. Does it work? Harei a get. It is a valid get. And if he gives it to her after he in fact fully married her, then she is megureshes. If they should be yodei legarsha, because he has the ability to be megaresha with it even now. Because after all, an arusa needs a get as well if they want to break up the erusin. So it already has a certain validity. Rashi points out now, there is something called get yoshan, which we touched on earlier in our Masechta, and we learn about it in more detail in Gittin. We'll learn about it next year, Bez Hashem. Anyway, get yoshan is where the husband gave his wife a get, and afterwards they were in yichud together. Beis Hillel says such, and the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that such a get is possible. Now here obviously you have, afterwards they did bia. Nevertheless, Rashi says, The Gemara tells us over there, it's true that such a get is possible according to Beis Hillel. However, even Beis Hillel agrees that if he gave her such a get, and then he went away to Medinas Hayam, then she can remarry using that get. So it's possible, but nevertheless, it still has a certain validity to it. So in the same way over here, it has a certain validity, even though in between they got married. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation, though, because, after all, they were talking about, we don't know whether they had relations here. We know they did, because they did Nisuin, after all. So therefore, Tosfos says that, no, what we're talking about over here is, he wrote the date on it after the Nisuin. So then it's not a get yashan, because, after all, based on a get yashan would be, the get is dated in Nisan, let's say, he was Nisiachad with her in Iyar, and then he gives it to her in Sivan. That would be get yashan.
The date on the get
is written to the date after the Nisuin. So he has it written. He did. He was Makadish her in Nisan. In Iyo, he goes to the Soker, has him write out the get with a date in Tammuz, let's say. Sivan, he marries her, and Tammuz he gives her, and Tammuz he gives her the get. So fine. So now it's not a plea. So now it's given after the date in it, and therefore it's not called get Yasha.
And you're not allowed to marry Almanas regardless.
You're not allowed to marry a woman Almanas the Gausha, but nevertheless, he did that, and we're saying that works. Yeah. Now, I mean, probably, yeah. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Now, Romi Bachama continues. Ula Isha Ba'alma. Now, we know that if he did that with a woman to whom he had not been Mekadosh yet, so if he goes to a sofer and says, I intend to be Mekadosh this lady, and later on to divorce her, I want you to write a get in advance for that, then ain't get, then it's not a valid get. Because he doesn't have the ability at that time to be Mekadosh, because there's not even Kedushin, and therefore Gedushin between them is meaningless. So now, with all that introduction, boy, Rami Bachama, the Yavim Teimahu. So now, Rami Bachama asks, what about while she's a Yavama, while the Zika exists? What if he has the get written, and then after they do Yivum, then he gives it to her? Does it work? Mahu, what would be the din? Now, what does it work in what sense? So Tosfos says, That potentially the get should be allowing her to remarry, because the fact is, at the time he wrote it, there was only a zikah, and a get doesn't have the ability at the time, during the zikah, a get only has the ability to prevent them from doing yibum. So why would we say that a get written during that time would now, why would Rami Bachama even be asking whether it has the ability to be matter her to marry somebody else? Rather, Tosfos says, does such a get passel her from kahuna? Is it considered reyah haget? That's one explanation in Tosfos. Then Tosfos gives a second explanation from the Rivon that the question is, if he wrote it before Mimer, and then he did Mimer, and then he used this get, does it remove the Mimer? Does it have the effect of removing the Mimer? Given that he has the ability at that point to do Mimer. And then different other Rishonim talk about the Rosh talks about, the Rashba talks about, but no, maybe not, maybe in fact, like Tosfos had rejected the possibility, maybe in fact we are asking whether the get has the ability to actually work as a full-fledged get after he were to do Yibum. The idea being, because it's Biyoda, he has the ability, the same way as we said before, Biyoda Lagarisha, during the Erisin, he has the ability to be Magarisha. Well, the same way now, during the Zika, at any time, he has the ability to break the Zika through Chalitza, or to accomplish that the Zika is fulfilled through Yibum. And therefore, we can say it's Biyoda, and therefore maybe he has the ability to give her, to write a get even now, even during the time of Zika. So according to them, that's what Rami Bachama is asking. There's an explanation. Reb Shimon Shkop, the famous Reb Shimon Shkop in his sefer Shara Yosha, which deals with all kinds of different issues of sfeikas and chazakas and all kinds of things like that. He discusses over here that maybe what so yeah he so he so he discusses that so he discusses. That maybe over here we wouldn't consider it biyada, even though it's true, of course, he has the ability to do biya, because he says right now you don't have the yibum, doesn't exist yet. The fact is there is no chalitza that's been done yet. There is no yibum that's done yet, and therefore you can't say biyada, he says, about something that doesn't even exist yet. At least with the Erusin, it's biyode, because right now the Erusin already exists. Maybe we can't say biyode about something that doesn't yet exist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's Rami Bar Chama's question. So do we say kiven da gida be karusosiganya? Do we say since they're already tied together, they have a zika, then maybe she's already considered like an arusa? And we said before that if he has a get written during the time of erusin, then it works for him to use it afterwards, after the nisuin. Or is yomo kiven da over by maimer loy? Or maybe he hasn't even done maimer yet, so there's only a zika, not even maimer. So maybe loy, maybe he doesn't have that ability. And the answer is teiku. We're not sure. So according to Tosfos's first possibility, then the teiku is, we know for sure it doesn't allow her to do anything else. The question is whether it passes her to a koyin. According to Tosfos, the second answer, the question would be, can he use it after Maimer? And the answer is, we're not sure. And according to the third possibility, the Rashba and the Rosh and so forth, the question would be, does it actually work as a get to, if he gave it to her after the Nisuin, to actually allow her to marry out or not? The Rambam seems to also hold that way because he says it's suffic gerushin. Okay. Next. Boy Rav Chananya. Now Rav Chananya has a question. Kosev get lazi kosev loy lama amore. We talked about the concept first where you have there can be two different motivations that you have where a Yavam gives a Yavama a get. There can be where he's intending with that get to break the zikah, and we're saying it has the effect that now neither he nor any of his brothers can do yibum with her anymore, but they still have to do chalitza, because daraisa, nothing's been done with the zikah. And then you have where he gave mimer, and then he gave a get, and then he gave a get for that mimer, to break that mimer. So now, Rav Hanani asks, kosev get was he kosev loy l'mamor, right? Suppose he did mimer, and now he gave her a get, having in mind to break the zikah, but not to break the mimer, or the other way around, he intends to break the mimer and restore things to the original state, but not for his zikah. Mahu, what would be the din? Do we say mimer ilove zikah karami? Does mimer sort of sit on top of the zikah? In other words, you have zikah to begin with, then he does mimer, which adds something more, and therefore, now, in effect, since he's writing, Rashi actually says he's writing in the get, that he's writing this get only for the zikah, or he's writing it only for the mimer. So by doing that, therefore, he's in effect only divorcing half of her. He's only, in effect, divorcing half a woman. Divorcing half a woman is obviously not valid, because it has to be Hariat Mocheris Tachodam, and it can't be, because half of her is still tied to him. So do we say that? Or do we say that the Zika and the Mimer are two separate things? So you have a Zika that's completely chal on her, a Mimer that's completely chal on her. So fine, then it would be effective. So if he did it, then it would mean the Zika has been removed. Now you have Lo Yivna, therefore none of them can do Yivna with her. If he did it l'ma amore, then it would be, she'd be also to him, she'd be mutter to all of his other brothers. Because for the other brothers, we would say, as we said back on Daf Lamed Beis, that he gave her mimer, now he undid it, so we're back to square one. So therefore, we're back to regular zika. So Rashi learns over here, as the Rambam learned over there also, that it means she's still also to do yibum with him. He's still also to do yibum with her, but the other brothers would be mutter. So what would be the case? Do we say that, or do we say she'd be also to all of them? So the Gemara says, why does Hanani have the question? The Tifshet Leimid de Rava, why doesn't he answer it on the basis of what Rava says? The Omer Rava Nosan Getlam Amore Hutra Tsarasa. Rav said before on Daf Lamed Beis that if he gave a get for his mimer, then fine, she herself is also still to do yibum, but the tzara is still mutter to do yibum. We had a case of that involving over there three brothers and three unrelated women and mimer. So Rava had said over there that if one of them did mimer and then he dies, then you have the problem of zikas shnei yivamin, that the two of the brothers now have, that there's a zika that resulted from two different brothers, and therefore, that's, Ashes Shnei Mesim, and Rava had said over there that if he gives her a get for the mimer, then the first one is mutter, because otherwise you'd have zika Shnei Yavamin, but like this, the get undoes what the mimer does. So therefore, so Rava says that. So the get undoes the mimer. The Gemara says, okay, the Rava Pshita Leila, Rav Hanani Mibayla. Fine, Rava knows for a fact, Rav Hanani is not so sure. His question is that in fact the case, or do we say that the get does not have the ability to completely undo the minor? And the Gemara says, Teiku, according to Rav Hanania, we can't be sure. Okay. Next. The Mishnah said, Cholatz va'osa mimer. The Mishnah had told us that if he did chalitza, and then he did, the Mishnah had told us that if he did chalitza, and then he did mimer, then we said that the mimer has no effect. We said, ein acha chalitza klum, nothing that takes place after chalitza has any effect. And therefore, the mimer doesn't, therefore, for example, we said if there were two yivamim or two yivamos, then the mimer that the second one did, or that was done with the second one, doesn't answer the relatives. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Zud Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now that's specifically according to Rabbi Akiva at the end of the last parak, Doma Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'chai V'Lavin, where he says, well, there's an Isur Lav, then Kedushin aren't Tofus. Here there's an Isur Lav, because having done Chalitza, they're not able to do, having done chalitza, he's not able to marry her anymore. She's also to him by the issue of lo yivneh. And Rabbi Akiva holds, as he always does, that kedushin are not tofes b'chai v'lavim. So therefore, according to him, the maimer has no effect. Aba chacham yesh acha chalitza form. The chacham say there is something after chalitza. The maimer is still able to take effect, because fine, there's a lav of lo yivneh, but that doesn't matter. A lav still allows kedushin to take effect. Therefore, the maimer will have an effect, and therefore her relative will be also to the brother who gave her mimer, or the relatives of the Yavama who received the mimer will be also to that brother. So the Gemara says, "Me motis mukmas lachir Rabbi Akiva." So you're telling me that you can make on Mishnah, that you're saying that on Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva. How? Well, katani reisha udi. In the Mishnah we said nosan get va'osa mimer, that if he gave her a get and then he did mimer, tzricha get v'chalitza. Then we said she needs both a get and chalitza. The e Rav Akiva. Now, if on Mishnah is according to Rav Akiva, then you wouldn't need the mimer. Again, the mimer would have no effect after the get. Kiven de yoyv lo get. Rav Akiva would say once he gave her a get, mi mahani ba mimer, would mimer be effective anymore? V'hatanya, Rav Akiva omer, minayin lenoisin get leivindai. How do we know that if a man gives a get, that if the yavam gives a get to his yavama, to nesra olav olamis, that she becomes also to him forever. The reason is Shenema, the Pasuk says, Lo Yucha Bala Harishin Asher Shucha, the Pasuk says that her first husband who sent her away, the case we talked about there is the Masa Gurushase that we talked about several times in Arma Sefta, where she was married to her first husband, he divorced her, she remarried, then her second husband died or divorced her, she's not allowed to remarry her first husband. But the Pasuk says Asher Shucha, that he sent her away. And now you don't need to say Asher Shucha, so therefore it means Achav Shiluach. It means that after sending away, then there can be a case where he's not allowed to remarry her, even if she didn't remarry. Now, what would be that case? Not a regular case of divorce, because a regular case where a couple gets divorced, they're allowed to remarry. It has to be talking about a Yuvama. So therefore, in effect, Rabbi Akiva is saying, in effect, the Pasuk is telling us that if a Yavam gives a get to his Yavama, then he's never allowed to do Yavam with her. Well, the Pashtos we assume, since he's mentioning it from Pasuk, then it means it's Daraisa. If it's Daraisa, then it means that then according to him, there's a Lav involved. Again, Kedushin are not Tofes B'chai V'Lavin. So why would we even be talking about the Mimer having any kind of effect such that she should need a get for it? So the answer is Amar Rav Ashi, get Yavam and Midrabanan. Because really, this whole concept that a get does anything to the Yavama is really only Midrabanan or cross Smachta Ba'alma. The Pasuk is only in a Smachta. Rabbi Akiva does not mean that it's an Isur Daraisa. It's only an Isur Dirabanan, and an Isur Dirabanan, of course, Kedushin or Tofes. So therefore, she needs a get for the Mimer. So therefore, again, if he gave her a get, which now makes it impossible to do Yivam, Dirabanan, then he gave her Mimer, which has a certain effect, because after all, it is a form of Kedushin. Then we're saying that the fact that they're not allowed to continue that with Yibum because of the Din Derabanan, but nevertheless the Kedushin were Tofes on a Daraisa level, and therefore, because it's only an Isur Derabanan, therefore she needs a get for that, and she still needs Chalitza because of the original Zikra. Okay, and the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochim. In fact, we learn like that in a Braisa. Omer Rebbe, this that we said, the Tanya Nami Hochim is going on the fact that we said that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. We said that according to Rabbi Akiva, if he did chalitza and then maimer, then the maimer has no effect. Einach chalitza klum. So tanya nami hachavilin. Similarly in Braisa, Omer Rebbe, einad dvarim alolu amurim. All of this is only talking about elul divrei Rabbi Akiva. Only according to Rabbi Akiva, shall you oisa chalitza keiva. Will he hold, as we learned in the previous perek, that when you did chalitza with a woman, it's the equivalent of an erva, because he holds that chalitza makes her also to him on a daraisa level. We said in the previous perek, the other chachamim hold that chalitza, the chalitza herself, is also only dirabanan, and Rabbi Akiva holds that it's daraisa. So therefore, and since he says that kedushin, since he says that isur, that an isur lab is like an isur kares and like an isur misas beisdin in that kedushin or antofus, then therefore he says kedushin or antofus with a chalitza. Therefore, if after the chalitza he or another one of the brothers, not he, whatever, if any one of them gives her mimer, then the mimer has no effect. Abu Chachamim Omrim, Yeshef Acha Chalitza Kum. The Chachamim say that no, there is something after Chalitza, meaning that if Maimah was done, the Maimah still has an effect in answering her relatives to him. Vani Omer, then Rebbe continues, I say, there's a difference. Amasai, when do we say that? That after Chalitza Kiddushin can be Chal, it depends what the motivation for the Kiddushin was. Bizman Kiddushin Lashem Issues. Only if he was Makadisher with full Kiddushin, not just we said on Omer Aleph, that usually when you do Mimer, you say Hareat Makudashasli, the Mimer Yavom. You specifically say that I'm doing this as Mimer. But here, Rebbe says, if he did it, Lashem Issues, he's saying as full Kiddushin, Hareat Makudashasli, then yeah, it's only a chai, it's only an Issulav, Kiddushin are affected by Chai Ve'lavim. But if he did it having in mind as Yibum, if he said Hareat Makudeshasli B'maimu Yibamim, then Einacha Chalitza Klum, then there's nothing after Yibum, there's nothing after Chalitza, says Rebbe, because then there's no Yibum anymore. There's no Maimu Yibamim to talk about because the Chalitza undid that. So that's Rebbe's opinion, that he takes a middle ground, depends what kind of Kiddushin it was. Tanya Idach, now we have another Braisa. Hacholot the Yivimte v'choz of a Kitra, if he did Chalitza with his Yivama and then was Makadisher again. So the same thing, Rebbe Omer, so Rebbe says the same thing as in the previous Braisa. Im Kitra v'shum ishu tzricha emenu get. If he's Makadisher as a regular Kiddushin, Hareat Makudeshasli, then she needs a get from him because then the Kiddushin are Tofus because it's only an Isulav. But l'shum yabmus ain't tzricha imenu get. But if he did it having in mind yibum, then she doesn't need a get because there's no yibum to talk about anymore. The yibum, the zika, has been completely removed by the chalitza. V'chamarim ain't bein shekid shel l'shum ishus, bein shekid shel l'shum yabmus tzricha imenu get. And the chachamim say that either way she needs a get. So now, Amar Rabbi Yosef, my time of the Rebbe. So why would Rebbe hold that there's a difference? What's the logical basis for Rebbe's opinion? So, Asa'ua ka'oidu b'nichse ager. We draw an analogy to the case where a person is digging in the ground in the property of a ger. Now, if a ger dies, if a ger has his old birth family is not related to him anymore, ger shenisgar kot shenolagami. So if he marries and has children, then fine, he has Yoshim, his children. But if not, then he has no Yoshim. Now, any born Jew always has Yoshim because if he doesn't have children, he has his father, he has his father's, he has his brothers, he has his father's brothers, he has his grandfather, his grandfather's brothers, et cetera, as it goes up, as the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, the Mishnah, and the Gemara tells us, as we're told in Bava Basra. But a ger is not like that. If he has no children, then he has nobody to garrison him. So if he dies childless, then any Jew can come and take over his property, and it comes his, but he has to do an act of chazakah on it. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that's how Rav got a building for his yeshiva. A ger in his neighborhood had passed away. Rav went in there and drew a picture on the wall, which is a form of chazakah, and therefore, by that, the building became his, and then he used it for his yeshiva. So now one way of doing that would be he takes a shovel and digs in the ground that used to belong to the ger. So that's a chazakah. So now, if he's digging in this ground, thinking that it was his own property, so he's oydu b'nichsa ger, or chasavar shaloi, he thinks that it was his own property, He thinks it's his property. Deloy Kani, then he's not Kona because he didn't have any intention to do any Chazaka. So the same way he thought that Kedusha Yivama are Tofes, he didn't, because he thought that there's still something of Yivum left, he didn't realize it's completely gone because of the Chalitza. So therefore we can say it's not a valid Kedusha. Omele Abaya, but Abaya says, me dummy, how do you compare it? Hossam lokam a kavan lamikni. There actually is no kavana to be kona at all. He thought it was his own property. Hossam a kavan lamikni. Here he does have an intention to be kona. It's the wrong kind of kinyan because there's no maimi yubaman anymore, but nevertheless, he still had an intention to do kedushin. Unlike there, we had no intention to even be doing any kind of kinyan. So rather, says Abaya, if you can compare it to this case of Oida B'nichse Ager, you would have to compare it. A case where he's digging in the property of one ger, thinking that it's the property of a different ger. You're cunning. And then he is koina because he had an intention to be koina. So the same way, he thought that he's going to be koina because of his brother's kedushin, because of his brother's marriage. Really, he's only koina because of his own koya, but should still be a valid kinyan. Why does Rebbe say that not? Ella, Omer Abaya, Hocha, Maya Skinner. Rather, Abaya says what we're talking about over here. Why does Rebbe say that if he says that it's based on Yevomin, then he's not koina? He's going to Omelay Skadshali B'maimu Yevomin. He actually says the words B'maimu Yevomin. It's not just his intention. So that's the thing. Before, in the second Braisa, in both Braises actually, we said that he did Lashum Ishus or Lashum Yavmus. Meaning not that he actually said one way or the other, Hareat Mekudeshesli versus Hareat Mekudeshesli B'maimu Yevomin. But rather he was just thinking it. Here we're talking about Abaya says he actually said it one way or the other. He actually said B'maimu Yevomin. So then, Rebbe stuff, a mimer ilove zika karami. So Rebbe holds that the mimer sits on top of the zika. Mimer is only possible when there is a zika preceding it. Basoi chalitza afkata la zika. So therefore, chalitza removed that zika. So now there's nothing for mimer to sit on top of. Therefore, when he says the mimer yubamin, then it, that he's saying on the basis of something that no longer exists, and therefore that's no good. But Rabbanan Sabri, Hay Lachodekoi, Bahay Lachodekoi. The Chachamim say that each one stands on their own. Zika is not a basis for the Mimer. So therefore, and they say, Meikra, Ilu Omolo Iskadshli B'Mimer Yuvamin. After all, to begin with, if he had said to her, Iskadshli B'Mimer Yuvamin, then they say, Miloi Mahani. So wouldn't it be effective? At the beginning, if he had said to her on the, when there was a zika, it's scarcely the maimer yuvamin. And the zika doesn't strengthen the maimer because they hold it separately. Hashtanami mahani. So even now, when there's no more zika, the chachamim say it still has the same effect. And therefore there is a kiddushin, and therefore she's going to need a get. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with a couple more explanations of Rebbe's opinion. So far we have a bias. So far we have Rabbi Yosef's explanation that it's because he thought that there was Yibum over here. He thought there was Zika, and it turns out that not. Abaya shot that down. So now we're saying the reason is because Rebbe holds that you need Zika as a prerequisite for Maimer, and the Chachamim are saying that you don't. And then we'll have more answers tomorrow, Best Hashem. Thank you, everyone.